The Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, a person can only preach so many Sundays in a row on the theme of bread. And so, this morning, I'm doing something I don't often do, which is preaching on the Apostle Paul, preaching on some of his words. The reason why I think I often shy away from that is because Paul is the church's first theologian and preacher. And so to preach on Paul is like preaching on someone else's sermon. He's already made his point. All I can do is elaborate on it. And perhaps another reason why I tend to steer clear of Paul is because I think every preacher that there has ever been secretly despises all other preachers and thinks that he or she can do better. Today, Paul gets talking about evil, which should be enough to make one nervous right there. And yet, we have to agree that certainly there would seem to be something in this world that is evil. We can't listen to the news without coming away with that impression. Now, granted, maybe, you know, that kind of sensational bad stuff always sells better than the good stuff, but the fact is, we can't deny that it's there. We live in a world sometimes where it seems like lies and misconceptions and distortions are spoken far more easily and freely than the truth. We live in a world where more countries at any given time are at war than are at peace. We live in a time, no, to say we live in a time implies that somehow this age is different. But the simple fact is that throughout history, we seem to have an all too ready proclivity for violence, for fighting with each other, for arguing with each other, for killing each other. Certainly, we can see what Paul sees when he speaks about evil. One reason I don't like preaching about evil is because maybe I've heard too many preachers speak about evil, and usually when they do, they are all too ready to identify just who that evil is. And usually that evil is whoever they happen to disagree with at any given time. Look back through history and you can always find a ready victim being identified as evil, whether it's Catholics, whether it's Anabaptists, whether it's women, whether it's homosexuals, whether it's Japs, whether it's whatever label we want to put on the other. We can point to them and say, there is evil. And we use that label then to rally people around us and around our presumably righteous cause so that we can go to battle with God's favor. Paul speaks about evil today. But part of the problem I have in speaking about evil is that I have yet to meet an evil person. I have met twisted people. I have met broken people. I have met violent people. I have met insane people. I have met people who are selfish or self-righteous or abusive. But I have never met an evil person. When they were young and surrounded by playmates who were looking forward to the day when they would become astronauts or cowboys or president, they weren't looking forward to the day when they would become child abusers or mass murderers or wife beaters. When I meet even the most unrepentant of these, what I see is someone who is not evil, but someone who is enslaved by a power that is all too familiar to all of us. I see someone who is enslaved to the same power that constantly seems to divide our communities, that constantly seems to be sending us into war with each other, who constantly seems to be bringing up old hurts and conflicts and bitternesses. And Paul doesn't seem to have met any evil people, because he does not speak of evil people this morning, but rather he directs our attention to those cosmic powers, those principalities, those strange, mysterious rulers that seem to somehow lead and draw the world away from God. And so he encourages us to put on our armor. Now, when I have heard people speak of putting on the armor of God, usually what I hear that leading to right after that is to, so that we might do battle with the evil one. But if you look at the armor that's being put on, it would be hard to do battle unless you want to beat them over the head with your helmet or your shoe
The only weapon that this fictive person is given is a sword, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Word of God. Because we do not have the power to fight evil. And this armor is not our armor. This armor is given to us by God so that, Paul says, we might withstand the evil that is around us. This armor that is given to us is given to protect us. And the one offensive weapon we are given, the word of the truth, we wield wildly, if not well, because the truth will always stand against evil. The first description that we are given of this evil, this Satan, this whatever it is you want to call it, is that this is the liar. This is the one who sows untruth. This is the one who suggests that we should be something other than what God made us and live in some other world than the world God has given us. But then we hear the word of God, and the truth comes to us again, and we are reminded of just who we are. We are reminded that we are not cattle to be used for the amusement or the edification of others. We, this good creation, this Garden of Eden we've been given to live in, is not simply some commodity to be used up for financial gain. We are reminded that we are a beloved creation, that we are created by God with and for each other. And when we hear that word of truth, we can no longer view each other as enemies, as evil ones. We have to view each other as fellow family members, as brothers and sisters with each other in this great family of God, in this great, beautiful, and good creation of which we are a part. We hear the good news, and we can no longer drive people away because we hear the story of the one who is always reaching out and drawing us back together. We can no longer drive out the evil among us because the evil is in us. And for this reason, our Lord comes and dies and rises again, so that we might all be drawn together at the foot of the cross as one great people, one flock, one family, one creation under God, animated by love, justice, compassion, and peace. We will not drive out the evil. That is a battle for God. But God will protect us and preserve us from that evil. And we will speak and hear the word together so that we might be reminded of the truth and live together in that truth. Amen.